Here's the thing about adventure. It's never going to come knocking on your door. You got to get out there and track it down. And there's no better way to find it than behind the wheel of a 2024 Toyota Tacoma. With trail-hungry power, legendary capability, and head-turning style, the Tacoma is not for the sedentary. 326 horsepower, 465 pound-feet of torque. And with all the toughness you could ask for, the Toyota Tacoma is the adventure you've been missing. Toyota, let's go places.
Eklund with a shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to Morning Tide on the Sharks Audio Network.
Star! Fabian Zetterlund on a one-time pass. Flips the defense, has a chance. Deke shoots. A spectacular rush from end to end. By Mikael Granlund.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Steered all the way down by Ottawa. 20 seconds to go in the San Jose power play. Time for one last rush up the ice for this second unit. Liljegren feeds it over to Zetterlund, who speeds through center, who crosses the line. Lead pass, Will Smith breaks in. He shoots. It hit the crossbar, and then it goes in. He scores. What a play. Will Smith driving through the middle of the ice, getting the pass and beating Omar to tie this game 3-3. Tyler Toffoli gets the rebound, dishes one out. Here comes Wennberg, took it off his skate, overskated it, and Stützle comes back in, sent toward the net, they score! Stützle takes it back, sends toward the net, and Adam Gaudette puts it up top. How did that happen with 4:12 to go? Senators 4, Sharks 3, Gaudette, his second goal of the game.
Yeah, I think our D zone has actually been pretty solid all year. It's more of our puck play. It's our puck play, whether that's a turnover, that's not executing on our breakouts or neutral zone transition. That's why we get back in our D zone. That's why we give up these line rushes and the odd man rushes. It's not because we're losing F3. It's not because we're lost in the D zone. It's our puck play. And we have to continue to harp on it and work on it and get better at it individually and collectively.
All right. Good morning, everyone. And happy Thanksgiving. I, for one, am thankful that we can look at a game like last night and say, hey, the Sharks did a lot right, and yet did not come out with the correct outcome when all was said and done. But that is a great place to be, because I'd rather see the team do the right thing and come out with the wrong result than do the wrong thing and consistently come out with the wrong result. And right now, the Sharks last night showed us a little bit of what I would allude to as the non-linear progression. It's not going to be just one step higher up the curve. It's going to be sometimes that the outcome is not in line with the performance. And various times this year, the outcome has not been in line with the performance in favor of San Jose, where they've been lucky to walk away or skate away with a point when all is said and done out of a game. This was one where they deserved a point. They did not get one. And I think, if anything, it's a learning experience for San Jose to realize that they can do all the right things. They can be the better team over the course of the game. But if they don't come up with the right play at the critical moment, they're going to end up with the result that they do not want and they probably are not deserving of. Now, deserving might be the wrong term, because I look at the second goal that Sharks gave up. That was a failed clearance. The third goal, they turned it over in the middle of the ice. And then the fourth goal was another turnover in the neutral zone. The first goal I didn't love. I'm not going to deny that in the slightest. But the second and third goal in particular, those were mistakes. And then the fourth goal was one that was turned over in the neutral zone. Those were all, I won't say tough to handle, because they weren't like the worst thing that I've ever seen the Sharks do. But three of the four goals that you gave up in a game which you vastly outshot your opposition. And when I do say vastly, I mean vastly. The Sharks outshot Ottawa 39-11. 11 shots on goal, and Ottawa scored 4 goals in the game. Yeah, guys, I'm right there with you. I'm not sure how exactly this happened. Sharks were the better team. Sharks controlled the pace of play. The Sharks were tied on special teams. Both teams were 1 of 2. The Sharks looked good. The Sharks were rolling lines, even with the injury of Barclay Goodrow. We don't really have much of an update on that as of yet. We just know that he did not return. The Sharks were looking good with their young players like Macklin Celebrini, Tyler Toffoli, and Will Smith. The Sharks did so many things right in this game, which many other times would have earned them a win. But again, the second, third, and fourth goals were all mistake-laden, and end up costing them the game. And that's unfortunate because they did a lot of things right. They were aggressive. They moved the puck well. They were just the team dictating the terms of the game. However, critical mistakes catch you in the end. And one of the things that I looked at in this game, the Sharks' power play, it has the ability at times to look very, very good, and at other times very, very just completely discombobulated. And if we go back to this game, in the first period, the Sharks had a power play where it looked like they were going to be able to make something happen, especially considering how early it was. It was just a minute 50 into the first period. They had already almost scored a goal about 70 seconds into the first period. It looked like momentum was on their side. So they draw this penalty, and they have a couple of good looks. I got to, you know, tip my hat to Ottawa for keeping San Jose out of the back of the net. That was a good job. It was well done. But the Sharks' power play looked good in that instance. When the Sharks have another critical moment in the third period when it looks like this is an opportunity for them to really make something happen and take control of the game, they did score by way of that Will Smith goal, but they just didn't look very cohesive on the power play. And so while they were rewarded with a power play goal, it looked so discombobulated before that and just so out of sorts that I was just kind of wondering, like, huh, I wonder where they're going to go with this. I wonder what they're going to be able to do. So just a game that was kind of all over the place because the Sharks were the better team, but critical mistakes at critical moments cost them. They were 1-for-2 on the power play, but the power play in which they scored the goal did not look nearly as good as their earlier power play. And then, you know, you look at the fact that if you had told me there was a game where you have Macklin Celebrini scoring a goal and you have Will Smith getting a goal and an assist, and you have Jake Walman and Tim Liljegren and Clean Costin and Mario Ferraro and Fabian Zetterlund and William Eklund all getting in on the scoring, I mean, I'm going to feel like that's a game that the Sharks are going to walk away with a win. And it's not the way that it worked out. And that's, again, that disconnect between the game we saw, the numbers that we see, the stats that we see, and then the outcome. I mean, Tyler Toffoli right now is another guy that I feel just cannot find the back of the net. He's got to be shaking his head and thinking, what do I have to do? You know, in the game against Buffalo the other day, he just had James Reimer being everywhere at the wrong place for him at the right time for Reimer. And then in this game, we got Toffoli, you know, ringing off the post on really good looks. It's like, God, get a bounce, make something happen, hit the inside of the post as opposed to, you know, just completely square with the post. It was frustrating to watch, but again, I keep on walking away with these mixed emotions out of the game because Ottawa jumps out to a 2-0 lead, even though the Sharks were the better team. The Sharks get back into it, and then they make another mistake that puts them down 3-1. Then the Sharks, as we've seen so many times this year, come roaring back into the game, only to give up a goal that puts them down 4-3, and they never have an answer. It's fun to watch. I'll give the Sharks that much. It's very, very fun to watch. Macklin Celebrini, he and William Eklund tonight. I mean, I know we've loved to talk about the chemistry that he and Will Smith have had over the course of the year, but him and William Eklund were all over the place and creating opportunities. And on another night against another team, you might have seen them combined for, I don't know, I mean, just how many ever goals and assists and points. I mean, they could have each walked away with huge games because they were both completely on the same page throughout the entirety of the game. And I know that the injury to Mikael Granlund, by the way, maybe overlooked over the course of this game. If you'd had him out there, maybe San Jose's walking out with at least a point. I don't know, but I feel like that's maybe a greater possibility. But the way that Eklund and Macklin Celebrini played together throughout this game, boy, that was fun. It was exciting. Also, Zetterlund got in on it as well. They were creating opportunities. They were making things happen. And that's what you want to see, right? Like, you want to see those lines over the course of the game making things happen. And Macklin Celebrini, I give him a lot of credit. You know, he keeps on rising to the moment. He's getting more attention. He took a hit in this game, took multiple hits in this game. It was more physical. Guys are going to be paying more attention to Macklin Celebrini because he keeps on proving how good he is and that the NHL realizes, uh-oh, this 18-year-old rookie, the youngest kid in the NHL, this kid is a problem. We need to put the hurt on him. We need to be physical with him. He seems like he can handle it all up to this point. But right now, Macklin Celebrini, Will Smith, Fabian Zetterlund, William Eklund, these young players, these pieces that are a core of San Jose going forward, they're fun to watch. They give you a lot that you feel good about. And I just think that there's just so much potential there to watch things happen. And, you know, while we go from the line of Macklin and Eklund and Zetterlund, just looking at Will Smith, everyone, I think, was overreacting early on that he was not, you know, scoring goals and registering points, you know, consistently early in games. Like, guys, the NHL is an incredible league. It's incredible how skilled these guys are. It's incredible how fast the game is. It's incredible how just strong the guys are and powerful in the way they move. For a 19-year-old like Will Smith, the expectation of him to just come in and be an immediate playmaker is, I mean, it's predicated upon how good he's been up to this point of his young career where we all see the potential, but it doesn't happen overnight. And yes, I know you can say, well, Ted, Connor Bedard and Macklin Celebrini both showed up. Yeah, that's great. Joe Thornton had trouble in his first year. Patrick Marleau had trouble in his first year. I can point to any number of high-profile athletes over the course of their NHL career that did not have great first seasons in the NHL. But Will Smith, it's not like he's not having success up to this point. He's got 3 goals now at this point of the year. He's got 5 points, and he's only getting better and better and better. It's not going to happen immediately, but it is happening before our very eyes, where Will Smith continues to get better from one game to the next, where he's jumping up and joining more of the plays, where he's finding himself in dangerous situations. We all know how good he is. It's just a matter of him learning the game and figuring out how he's going to react to the game. And I was amazed that people were impatient with this, but Will Smith continues to play a very, very good game, continues to improve in front of us. And again, where he will be in a year or two compared to where he is now, I mean, if you're not excited by that, then I don't know what gets you excited. I don't know what gets you up in the morning. And then Fabian Zetterlund, he's got 9 goals. He's got 17 assists. He's played in all 25 games up to this point. He keeps contributing. Then we talk about a William Eklund. Again, he is 22 years old. He's got 4 goals. He's got 15 assists. He's got 19 points. I mean, these guys are looking like stars in the NHL. And then Luke Cunningham looks like he is getting back to the player that he was before that knee injury. He looks like he is, you know, finding his speed, finding his skating, finding his place in the offense. He was creating breakaway opportunities. He was making things happen for San Jose. He was active all over the ice. I mean, these are the things that we are looking for from San Jose, because we saw the star players early on. We were waiting for the veterans to react. The veterans have been reacting. We've seen Luke Cunningham. We've seen Alex Wenberg. We've seen Jake Walman. We've seen Cody Ceci. Mario Ferraro got his first goal last night. All these guys are developing into the Sharks game last night. And I know that it's frustrating to say, well, Ted, they didn't walk away with any points out of last night's game. But you're watching the team develop before your eyes, right? Like, you're watching these guys have more of an impact on the game when all is said and done. And I think that the more players the Sharks are involving in their attack, the more players that are ending up on the score sheet at the end of the day, the more players that are getting points, the more production from your young players like Eklund and Smith and Celebrini, the more production you're getting from a guy like Fabian Zetterlund, even if he is a couple years older, he's still young and still developing his game in the NHL. These are the signs of progress that you want to see. And even though it is a non-linear progression, you are watching all of these guys contribute. You know, we've seen Wenberg show up. We've seen now Cunningham show up. Barclay Goodrow, he was being more productive and more active out there on the ice. We'll see what happens in the next couple days with his injury. Hopefully that's not too serious. But even though it is a quote-unquote non-linear progression with San Jose, in which there are going to be steps forward and steps back and steps forward and steps back and steps back and steps back and then steps forward and steps back and steps forward and so forth, it's going to be a process right now to watch these players develop. And there has to be a relative patience, because I know that with Sharks fans right now, because I feel a little bit of this myself, when you watch them, you feel like the sky is the limit because there is so much potential. So you have to put that against the idea of, okay, I see how much potential there is versus where they are in reality. And where they are in reality is a team that cannot yet perform consistently from one game to the next and is still trying to prove themselves in the NHL and still trying to learn how to win, still trying to learn who these players are and develop talent. It takes time. I know we all want the Sharks to be in a playoff, you know, race tomorrow, but that's not where they are as of yet. That's a conversation most likely for the next couple of seasons. And while I don't know what will happen with the remainder of this year, that's just where I feel they are. So while I understand and appreciate the lack of patience with the Sharks right now that you might be feeling because they are seemingly so exciting and you see how much potential there is, we have to put that against the reality that they are still a team that is developing and still turning into what we all assume they will be in the future. And that is, you know, a very high level competitive contending team. Right now, the Sharks are just a whole lot of fun, right? Like I enjoy every single Sharks game that I see right now. I am just excited for the next game tomorrow on Friday, a noon 30 start, to see what exactly the Sharks have in store for all of us. This is a fun team that is still a work in progress, but still is an entertaining product every time they take the ice. And I will take that entertainment because I know what it's like to have a non-entertaining team and feel like a team that is just kind of, you know, they're fighting to get through the season. You know, we saw that the last couple of years. Not that I didn't always look forward to every single Sharks team, but it was just every day it was like, okay, let's get through this. Let's see what they can do. Now that they're on the other side of that, that's why we all have this excitement. We all know what's potentially there with San Jose. We just have to wait a little bit longer. All right, let's get into some of these highlights out of last night's game. Down 2-0 early on. It was Mario Ferraro with his first goal of the year to get San Jose back into this game.
Here comes Smith getting it back across the ice. The shot, score! Mario Ferraro gets a brilliant feed from Will Smith. Clean Custon started that, and the Sharks are on the board at 9:19 of the second period.
Love the no-look feed from Will Smith, showing all the potential as a playmaker that we all see in him. And Mario Ferraro, he was due. He needed to get something going offensively in terms of his goal-scoring production. So congratulations to Mario Ferraro. It was his first goal in 27 games, so it had been a while since he had scored a goal. But, you know, it immediately got San Jose back into the game. Unfortunately, San Jose shortly thereafter would give up another goal to go down by that two-goal margin. After Mario Ferraro scored about 6 minutes later, Tyler Cleven got Ottawa on the board, a 3-1 lead back to Ottawa. Then in the third period, it was Macklin Celebrini, right place, right time. He and Will Smith with some incredible interplay, crashing the net, making things happen. Celebrini makes it a 3-2 game.
Off the faceoff, Sharks win it. Wallman, the shot, save, rebound, right in front, score! It tipped from Eklund to Celebrini, and Celebrini had nothing but net to bang it in. The Sharks are back alive in this game, and Macklin Celebrini does it at 4:48. The score, the Senators 3, the Sharks 2.
So for those of you keeping track, Macklin Celebrini now has 7 goals and 4 assists, 11 points in 13 games played. If we extrapolate those goals over an 82-game season, yeah, he's on pace for 44 goals right now. And he is on pace for 69 points overall. Nice. So yeah, Macklin Celebrini right now has been playing like a star in the NHL. I don't want to put any more pressure than is already on him. But yeah, we all see it, guys. We all see exactly what Macklin Celebrini looks like. He looks like a star. He looks like a superstar. He looks like a generational talent. He looks like a player that makes you want to buy tickets to go see him in person. And that doesn't just mean if you're a fan of the Sharks. That means if you're in Winnipeg, if you're in Anaheim, if you're in Colorado, if you're in Columbus, if you're in Florida, if you are in Jersey, wherever you are, Toronto, you want to see Macklin Celebrini play right now. He is exciting to watch. He is living up to the hype. He is better than the hype up to this point, and he continues to excite. And then you have Will Smith, who maybe did not have as hot a start as Macklin Celebrini, but yeah, he keeps on getting better and better with each passing game. And yeah, he got another goal last night, his third of the season, and it pulled San Jose level at 3 with Ottawa.
Cleared all the way down by Ottawa. 20 seconds to go in the San Jose power play. Time for one last rush up the ice for this second unit. Liljegren feeds it over to Zetterlund, who speeds through center, who crosses the line. Lead pass, Will Smith breaks in. He shoots. It hit the crossbar, and then it goes in. He scores. What a play
Smith driving through the middle of the ice, getting the pass and beating Omar to tie this game 3-3.
Assisting goals and scoring goals. Will Smith showing everything that he is capable of in the NHL. He is still learning the game, my friends. He is still figuring it out, but while he is figuring it out, he is able to make an impact on plays. He was on two of the Sharks' three goal-scoring plays on the night. He picks up a goal and an assist. He looks like he is that much better day after day after day. Again, the excitement right now, the lack of patience right now, because we see what they're capable of when we look at the near future. Unfortunately, San Jose was also their own worst enemy in this one, as they gave up a goal to go down by a final of 4-3.
Tyler Toffoli gets the rebound, dishes one out. Here comes Wennberg, took it off his skate, overskated it, and Stützle comes back in, sent toward the net, they score! Stützle takes it back, sends toward the net, and Adam Gaudette puts it up top. How did that happen with 4:12 to go? Senators 4, Sharks 3, Gaudette, his second goal of the game.
And again, this gets back to so much of the discussion of the game. How did that happen, as Dan Rusinowski said? The Sharks were the better team over the course of 60 minutes on the ice. Unless you start defining better by the team that makes fewer critical mistakes. While Ottawa did not have the shot volume, did not have the dictation of pace, did not have the dictation of play, did not have the more dominant performance. More importantly, they did not make the critical mistakes at the critical times. San Jose, unfortunately, did make those critical mistakes, and that's why Ottawa walked away with the win when all was said and done. And by the way, I apologize for my nasally voice and stumbling over some words here. I'm still dealing with the after effects of a cold, which are annoying enough to make me have to pause and re-record and do things more often than I would like to. But let's get into some of that post-game reaction from head coach Ryan Warsawski, who had his first commentary asked about the game. He had to get bleeped out there.
Yeah, results are but we played some good hockey. Probably got to be smarter in some scenarios, which we're learning. Yeah, frustrating night.
I love that he dropped a good curse on us in his first answer, because you want to know that the coach is frustrated, and he knows that he shouldn't swear on camera, but you know what? Let us know how it feels. I prefer the realness, and I wish the FCC would chill out about some of these curse words. Warzo was also asked about what the team should take away, their high-quality play or the fact that critical mistakes hurt them.
The big mistakes, you know, that cost us the game.
And that's the unfortunate part out of all this, because the Sharks, their shot volume was great. They dictated the pace of play. They were putting the pressure on Ottawa all throughout the night. They were the better team. They did more things right than Ottawa, but those critical mistakes at the critical junctures of the game. And this is why sports are flawed, because you can do everything right for the majority of the game, but that doesn't mean that that's where the critical moments are happening. For San Jose, the critical moments were the second, third, and fourth goal, were their own mistakes, a failed clearance, a puck turned over in the middle of the ice, and then a puck turned over in the neutral zone, led to them losing this game. San Jose did everything else but those three plays very, very well in this game, and arguably better than the opposition. Unfortunately, those three plays, those three mistakes, that's where the game was decided. That's where the Sharks beat themselves, and that's where they have to figure out how to not do that again in the future. That's the thing about learning, right, guys? Like, learning in professional sports, when you are a team trying to reestablish itself in the midst of a rebuild, learning comes with pain. Learning comes by way of mistakes. The Sharks made those mistakes. Hopefully, they don't make those mistakes again. That's my hope of the great takeaway from this game, is that the Sharks understand that, okay, we did this wrong. Let's make sure we don't do that wrong again, because this was a night on November 27th, a Wednesday night in our own house, where we should have walked away with at least a point, where our own critical mistakes cost us when all was said and done. Here's Warzo and his thoughts off that top line of Eklund, Celebrini, and Zetterlund.
Yeah, they were good tonight. Did some really good things. They still got to get to the inside of the ice more. A little bit too perimeter. Obviously, they score a goal when they start getting to the inside of the ice, so hopefully that's a step in the right direction.
And again, this takes us back to that whole idea of this being a learning process. That means they've got to figure it out in real time. Hopefully, they'll be able to apply what happened in this game and put it going forward. But also, you know, I don't know when I don't know when Mikhail Granlund is going to be back, and that could change the lines again and get the Lund line back together. But, you know, it's hard to look at the interplay of a Macklin Celebrini and a William Eklund and not want to keep that together. But you got to improve upon it. It's not enough just to combine for the goal that they did. You want more out of these guys. And while they were fun and they were exciting, production is paramount. And they only produced the one goal. So let's go from there and see if they can build upon it. Orzo also talked about some of the frustrations with his team when they're doing things well, but it's not yielding success.
Yeah, I think we get a little stubborn at times. And we get away from what we have success with is putting pucks behind them, forecheck, you know, holding on to pucks in the offensive zone, go to low to high. We get stubborn with it, and it gets, I don't know if we get bored with it, but it is a lot of work. It's a lot of effort. But, you know, also when you turn over puck at the blue line, it's a lot of effort to get back and back check too. So we have to decide as a group which way we want to go here to start getting results that we want, you know, consistently.
Orzo was also asked about Will Smith's play specifically.
Yeah, for sure. Even on the assist, he makes a really good play to Mario there. You could see he was a little bit more comfortable tonight with the puck. So, again, I think he took a step in the right direction.
And it was asked if he believed that the game was slowing down for Smith.
Yeah, I think so, a little bit. You know, the game speeds up and slows down throughout the game, you know, with the shift of momentum. And I think he's trying to grasp that more, and I think he's done a better job of that.
Let's hear a little bit from Will Smith on last night's game.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of been our identity all year, that game's never over, and obviously you don't want to be having to, you know, pull your goalie so much. But, I mean, look at the shots, and we had a bunch of chances that we could have buried, and I thought we had a good game.
And I think that should be emphasized in this game, even though we're talking so much about the fact that they did not walk away with a win or an overtime, a point out of this game. The Sharks did a lot of things good, and I think it's important for Will Smith and his teammates to be able to identify that and recognize that, yeah, the good that they did is worthy of recognition, that it is worthy of building upon. It's just unfortunate that we have to put it against those big critical mistakes that the team made that led them to not walking away with any points when all was said and done. You can do both of those simultaneously. You can acknowledge both the bad and the good and see what you did well and also see what you did not do as well. And I think that's kind of what they got to take away from this game. And I think that Will Smith acknowledging as such is a good starting point. He was also asked if he was going to rue the opportunities that they were not able to bury as a team.
I think it's the other way around, honestly. I think those are some points that we could add. And but, I mean, it's the NHL, so we had another game Friday, and get back to it then.
Forget it and move on. I do think that is the right course of action. I just think for those of us watching from the outside, it's frustrating that the Sharks played what we all perceive as a good game, yet walk away with nothing. Sports are flawed. Sometimes the better team doesn't walk away with the win, and we can define better by the less mistake-prone team in this specific outing, and that's going to be Ottawa. They did not make the same mistakes that the Sharks did, and they walked away with 2 points. That said, Will Smith did acknowledge that if the Sharks play like that most nights, they're going to walk away with a positive result.
Definitely. I mean, I would hope so. I think, like you said, it was almost a full consistent 60, but those times that we let up, obviously the puck ends up in the back of our net, and those are the moments that can get us.
Those moments obviously did get San Jose when all was said and done out of this one, but Ryan Warsawski was not about to blame Mackenzie Blackwood.
Yeah, I thought he was good when he needed to be. Obviously, maybe one he wanted to have back there, but it's hard when you're not getting a lot of shots and you're not getting a lot of action. You know, for so long, he's been getting peppered back there, and he stands on his head. And then, you know, at times you don't get a lot of shots and you don't get into the rhythm of the game. You saw that with Allmark, right? He was feeling the puck. You feel good about yourself. Early in the game, we weren't getting in front of him. We weren't making his job difficult, getting to the middle of the ice, and you feel good about yourself. It's confidence for goalies to feel the puck and get saves. And that's what we did to Allmark, and Black, you just had one of those nights where you just didn't see a lot. And, you know, those are, you know, positive usually because you end up winning the hockey games. But for where we are right now, we just don't know how to win those games. And we have to be a little bit smarter in situations, really, what it comes down to.
But where we are left out of this one is seeing how San Jose corrects their mistakes and responds against Seattle on Friday, because that's the first of a back-to-back. They're home against Seattle and then away against Seattle. So we'll see what sort of a correction they have. We'll see if they can make some of these mistakes disappear from their game and see if they can split this 4-game homestand. I was hoping for 3 out of 4. It will not go down that way. At best, they can get a 2 out of 4, but I'll take a 500 home stand, and then they'll go out on the road for a very difficult East Coast road trip. But, you know, again, game after game, week after week, San Jose continues to put a competitive and, in my opinion, improving product out there on the ice, and that's really what I was hoping for at this point of the season. So, happy Thanksgiving, everyone. We're out of time. Go Sharks.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yen.